Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally came down to form one new man, one new humanity, one new species of being. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar. Oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be whole. And many people are stuck because of strongholds that have formed in their life from events they're not even thinking about. And they wonder why they're stuck. But there's nothing they feel they can do about it, so they go throughout life without having the intimacy, the friendship, the peace, the sweetness of a full relationship with God. So my guest, Tricia Frost, was like that. And her husband, who's now in heaven, Jack Frost, was like that. Jack was a very, very driven man. His father was an alcoholic. Jack got into performance-based Christianity. His wife, Trish, had very low self-esteem. And he went to a conference. And for the first time, he realized that he and his family members were judging God by their relationship with their father. And he broke it in himself, and then he proceeded to show, just out of curiosity, Trish, did he come home and start teaching, or did you just notice the change in him? What occurred?
Well, whenever he first came home, when he walked through the door from the conference where Jack Winter, and isn't that nice of God, God had Jack Winter speak a blessing over Jack Frost, but he came home from this conference, and he was not the same person. And he walked in the door, and he immediately began to sit us down, and he just started saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry that I've treated you this way. I'm sorry that I didn't value." And there was no "but" attached to any of the "sorry." There was no "I'm sorry, but if you hadn't have done this, we wouldn't be this way." It was, he took responsibility and ownership for his behavior. He took responsibility for all the ways that he had wounded his family, because I think for the first time he had a revelation of just how much he had wounded his family. And he didn't want that for his family anymore. And so he immediately, he didn't just come in and say, "I'm sorry." I mean, that was great. But then his whole behavior changed. He began to act differently. We didn't have to.
But most people think no one can change. That husband of mine, that wife of mine, that's the way they are. They can't change. But you're saying your husband changed.
Given the right environment, anybody can change. And Jack was placed in an environment of unconditional love and acceptance himself. When Jack Winter prayed over him, he was placed in an environment that he's never felt that kind of love and intimacy from a father. And I think all of us need, isn't that what we're all looking for? We're all looking to be valued and loved, especially by our fathers and our mothers too. But especially we long to hear those words, Sid, "I love you, son. I'm proud of you, son." And just words of blessing. So many people live by words that have been spoken over them because they're word curses. You'll never amount to anything. You stupid idiot. You can't do that, or all the "I can'ts." Instead of creating an environment to where we can believe in a person and we can see the potential and the purpose and the destiny, and then as parents begin to bless that. So when we create environments like that, anybody can change.
Now, I'm going to read a quote from you. "Pain turns to behavioral patterns, which cause us to then be pain for those who we love." It seems like such a vicious cycle.
Yeah. We call it our cycle of pain because what it is for us, it is a cycle. Because this cycle of pain, it starts with a wound. Somewhere in our life, either a word curse is spoken or someone does something that just hurts and wounds us to the point to where we get stuck in believing a lie or a word curse that we can't. And out of that woundedness, then it causes us to begin to think negatively about ourselves. Well, maybe they're right. I can't do this. I can't do that. And so I might as well live life. And then the next part of that cycle is whenever you don't believe in yourself, and you start believing a lie about yourself, then you step into disobedience. God did not make any of us to not be successful. And so we embrace the lie, and we step into sin and disobedience. Well, that opens up the doors for isolation. You know, well, I just don't trust you enough to allow you to be a part of my life. And whenever we open up the doors for darkness and isolation, I hate to say it, but then we open up the doors for demonic oppression. You know, our enemy is looking for ways to just devour us. I feel like the devil's only had one mission statement, and that's to divide and conquer. And so he's constantly looking for ways to divide families and conquer whole families. And he does that through separation. You know, if I can get this person to believe that they have no value, especially by their earthly parents or even spiritual authorities in their life, then I've got them. You know, if I can convince them to believe a lie long enough that sooner or later that lie becomes their reality, it's not their truth. But, you know, I heard it said one time that Joseph Goebbels, who was Hitler's minister of propaganda, he made this statement: if you can convince a person of a lie long enough, they'll believe it. And that's how he convinced Germany to believe the lie that Jewish people have no value. And you saw that. I mean, it really almost produced one of the greatest genocides in history ever.
But you know what's interesting? The flip side of that is also true. If you believe the word of God and hear it long enough and start following that, you will believe the truth. In other words, that's the way the human body is created. We will believe what we hear long enough. So we have to make sure we hear the right thing.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, how do you do that? You know, people ask me all the time, well, how do I identify the word curses in my life? You know, how do I understand what wounding is? Well, I think Jeremiah 1:10-11 helps us out there, because it says, "See, today I have set you as rulers." And it said, I really don't believe that people believe that they have that kind of authority. God has set us up for rulers. You know, we're joint heirs. But in being set up for rulers, he's told us to go out and uproot, tear down, overthrow, and destroy all the things in our life, those root issues, those ungodly beliefs, so you can build and plant. So many people get a hold of the faith message, build and plant, you know, that mouth confession is really good. But when you try to just do mouth confessions on top of ungodly beliefs, then it doesn't change anything for you. And then you get frustrated and you lose hope that, you know, that I'll ever change, that I can ever have purpose, that I can ever have value. So it's when we go after those things, you know, those ungodly beliefs, you know, those strongholds, those habit patterns.
Now, when you say stronghold, what's your definition of stronghold?
I think a stronghold is a fortress of thought, or it could be fortress of many thoughts that actually influence the way we respond to life. You know, again, it's a habit pattern. You know, it's a habit. You know, a habit is something that it's an act or something that we believe so often that it takes no new decision of mind to perform the act.
Now, how does the stronghold actually get to be a stronghold in our life?
Well, I think through word curses. You know, whenever you are told a lie, it goes back to that. When you are told a lie long enough, you begin to believe it. Even though you know that that's not true, that's not your destiny, that's not the purpose and plan of your life, you begin to embrace that as truth for yourself. And then involuntarily, you will begin to live from that lie, thinking that that's your truth. I see it over and over and over again. I mean, I mainly stay in North America right now, but I travel at least twice a month, and I do encounters and seminars. And Sid, I meet people every day in these seminars that have embraced an orphan heart, you know, that heart that tells them they don't have a right to belong. And they've embraced that orphan heart mainly because they've not had a place to belong. You know, they've not had anyone speaking into their life that they have value, that they have purpose, that they have destiny. And so they begin to believe that they don't. And in believing that they don't, then they live their life. You know, they live their life most of the time, I hate to say subservient, but just, you know, beneath their potential. You know, and I believe with all my heart, and I believe this, and I have especially been living this way since Jack died. I believe with all of my heart that Father God wants each and every one of us to not just be successful, but to live abundantly above anything that we could dream about. And why not?
You know, I have in my hand your bookmark, which is called I Am Father God's Happy Thought. Tell me about this bookmark very quickly.
I keep that bookmark most of the time taped to my mirror in my bathroom because I need to remind myself that Father God has happy thoughts. See, we don't believe that. We tend to view Father God the same way that we view our earthly dads. And that's such a misrepresentation of who he really is. Because, you know, he says in 1 Corinthians that he can't think an evil thought. And if he cannot think an evil thought about us, where do we get the idea? Who's telling us that he does? You know, who's telling us that we're a failure, that we can't? Because I just believe with all of my heart, if it hadn't have been my belief of who the image of who Father God really is today, I never would have been able to walk through the last 7 years of Jack not being here. You know, I was so afraid to do anything, especially anything on my own. And Father God's given me the courage to believe in my destiny and the purpose and the plans that he has for me. But, Sid, it's not come without a cost.
I'll tell you what, we're out of time right now, but we have the Freedom Package, which is her book, Unbound, Breaking Free from Life's Entanglements, and 3 CDs on healing your heart and healing the heart of your family. I'm going to tell you something, they get transparent. It's really a how-to. You've known something is wrong with you. You've known something's wrong with your family. Are you going to do something about it? For a gift of $40, I want to send you the Freedom Package. To place a credit card order for today's offer, call anytime at 1-800-447-2697. That's 1-800-447-2697. Or log on to our website at www.sidroth.org to hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural. Visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. Call 1-800-447-2697 or log on to our website to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter or materials catalog. I really want to mentor you monthly to walk in the supernatural of God. Log into our website and get information on how you can join our mentoring clubs by becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim. You can write me at Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. That's Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.